Tonight, in the adult class, we're starting a new study entitled Real Christianity. And over the next 14 weeks or so, we're going to talk a little bit about this. And I think it'd be great for our young people to hear tonight as we introduce this new series of lessons. But a lot of Christians today are kind of hounded by fear and guilt and discouragement. They open the Bible and they come to church and they hear the preaching, and all they hear, all they see is condemnation. A lot of people struggle trying to be good enough, but knowing that they fall short of that. And a lot of people just give up and walk away from the faith and never really enjoy real grace-based relationship with Jesus Christ that the Word of God teaches us about. And so we want to learn about that. And it's what we want to try to do is strike this balance. I want you to understand that nobody gets to heaven by being good, right? It's only by grace that we're saved through faith. And so you're not going to get to heaven by being good, by living a certain way. We do know that when you trust in Christ and His Spirit lives inside of you, He changes you from the inside out. There's going to be some evidence. Your life is going to change. But even that's not what saves you. It's not what keeps you saved. It's just evidence. And when you fall short, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God's done with you and you don't get cast out into outer darkness and then you got to get saved again. That's not the way it works. And so we've got to learn to just accept the fact that we're accepted in the Beloved. Our acceptance is not found in our performance. Our acceptance is found in Christ alone. And when we get that truth, it gives us a liberty to live for Christ out of a heart of gratitude and love, and helps us to have the joy that the Lord intends for us to have. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Can somebody tell me how long everlasting is? How long is it, Chronister? When does it stop? Never. That's right. Good job. What grade are you in? He's a senior in high school, folks. Hey, listen, everlasting means that it starts and it never, ever, ever stops. God loves you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Let's have another word of prayer and dive into the lesson tonight. Father, we pray that you'll open our hearts to the truth of your wonderful, amazing, everlasting love. I pray for the one here tonight. No doubt there are several who have never been born again. They're old enough. They understand they need to be saved, but they've never repented and trusted in Jesus. Lord, whatever it is that's been holding them back, I pray that they would let go of it all tonight and just grab hold of Jesus. I pray they'd repent of their sin and unbelief and trust in you. And I pray tonight that they would pray, they would cry out to you and ask you to forgive them, ask you to save them, and that souls would be saved because of the gospel tonight. And I pray for the saved to follow you in baptism and serve you in the church. And I pray for your will to be done in our lives. Open our ears to hear. And let these sayings sink down into our ears, into our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ is the perfect redeemer. He's the one that buys us back. He redeems us from sin and the curse and death. And in the Bible, he gives us this picture. Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, all right? And in biblical days, the bridegroom, the groom, would go and prepare a place. And young ladies, pay attention. One of these days, you might want to find a husband. You might find one that can actually afford to have a place for you to live. Nobody? Come on. Where's all the dads at? Listen, if some Yahoo wants to marry one of my girls, he better have enough sense to have a job and a place to stay. Well, in those days, that's the way it was. You wanted to marry a girl, you would prepare a place. You would go and prepare a home for your future family. Everybody with me? Amen. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place, and one day he's coming again. You guys are killing me tonight. I need you to wake up a little bit. This is good news. Jesus, the bridegroom, has gone to prepare a place. One day he's coming to get his bride, and he's going to catch us and take us home to be with him forever. And that's the picture that we see in Scripture, and that's what we need to understand. So imagine for a second, and maybe this is, I hope this is hard for some of you guys, but try. But young ladies, you can imagine waiting in anticipation. You're engaged, you're betrothed, you're going to get married. The love of your life has gone to get a house ready for you. He's getting all the things prepared for you, and you have no idea when he's coming. It's not like he can Instagram you. Okay? He can't Snapchat you or anything like that. You just have to wait. You don't know when he's coming. You've just got to be ready. And so it might be weeks, or it might be months, or it might be years. But that young lady would faithfully, patiently anticipate his return. Can you imagine that might be a little difficult, though? I mean, I know how you guys are. You don't even want to wait the minute and 37 seconds it takes to get your order at McDonald's. Right? And they don't help you any. They put a clock up there so you know exactly how long it's taking. I was there the other day. It was like 3 minutes and 30-something seconds. I was like, what is wrong with these people? Right? We don't like to wait for anything, but imagine waiting, and you don't know when he's coming. And what if it is weeks? What if it's months? What if it goes into years? You've been waiting for 2 years. And I imagine that young lady would think, I thought this fellow wanted to marry me. Where is he at? There's something wrong? What happened? And so that anticipation and that waiting would be very difficult, but they would wait. And dear friend, I want you to get this, because it's exactly what it's going to be for us as Christians today. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place, and listen, there's nothing for us to do but wait and be faithful while we wait. And therein lies the difficulty, because it's not easy. It's not easy to live for Jesus in the world today. It's not easy to be faithful to him. It's not easy to put off the influences of the world. Now, to be fair, we make it really hard on ourselves. We make it hard on ourselves because we bring more worldly influences into our lives than we do biblical influences. Like, if you just took a percentage base and figured, today, how much time did you spend reading the Word of God or listening to scriptures or listening to godly Christian music compared to how much time you spent listening to, reading, or watching something that's not godly? I mean, imagine the amount of influence we put the world into our hearts and minds compared to biblical influence. So we make it even harder on ourselves. So what does it mean to be a real Christian? Well, it's like this. By grace, I am rescued into a redemptive relationship with Jesus. In other words, I have a relationship with Jesus. He's my redeemer. He purchased me with his blood. He's promised an eternity of perfection. But I'm constrained to wait with patience for God's eternal purposes to unfold. Got to wait. I got a promise coming, but we're going to have to wait. So let me ask you a couple of questions tonight. Number one, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Now, I want to make sure you understand what I mean by that. I don't mean by that, are you religious? I don't mean by that, were you born into a Christian family? I'm not asking you if your parents are Christians, or your grandpa was a Baptist preacher, or your family is Catholic and you all go to Catholic church. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, are you a Christian? What I mean is, when it comes to where you're going to spend eternity, have you been saved from the penalty of sin by faith in Christ alone? That's what I mean by, are you a Christian? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ tonight? Amen. Well, if you don't, I beg you to trust Christ as your Savior tonight. Most people that I talk to around here are trusting in themselves. They're trusting in their good works. They're trusting in their religious behavior. And let me be clear tonight, friends. If you're trusting anything other than Christ, you will not get to heaven. You're not Christian. Romans 5:21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation doesn't come from religion. It's a free gift that comes to us by faith in Jesus Christ. Second question. If you are a Christian, do you really understand and enjoy the Christian life? Do you understand what it means to be a Christian? And are you enjoying it? Do you have the joy of being a Christian in your life? When I was a kid, we sang, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my... Where? Yeah. I was one of my favorite, it makes me happy today. I'm so happy, so very happy. I'm always happy when I sing that song, but it seems like the happiness depends on the song sometimes. What I'm telling you is, as a Christian, it doesn't take a song, it doesn't take circumstances to be just right. It's just the joy that we have from being in a relationship with Christ. And that's what we're talking about in these lessons. From the first moment of faith until the moment you see Jesus face to face, it's really, really easy to get off course. It's really easy to lose the joy of your salvation. Not your salvation, you can't lose that, but you can lose the joy. So somewhere in between meeting Jesus and seeing him face to face, we have this difficulty of waiting. We have joy that's replaced with anxiety. We have grace that's overshadowed by expectations. We have victory in Jesus that becomes failure in ourselves, and we want to overcome all of that. Now, I want to remind you that God's grace does modify our behavior, and we're going to talk about that in later lessons, but I want you to get this. We try to make our performance the basis of God's acceptance. You're not accepted because you do good. You're not accepted. God doesn't love you more because you came to church tonight. The people who didn't come tonight, God doesn't love them less. He loves us all with an infinite, overwhelming love. And you say, well, if God's going to love me, whether I come to church or not, why come to church? If God's going to love me, whether I read my Bible or not, why read my Bible? If God's going to love me, whether I pray or whether I witness or whether I do what's right or do what's wrong, if he's going to love me no matter what, then what's the point? That is the point. Listen, the fact that God loves you no matter what, does that make you want to not do right? Or does that make you want to live a life of service and gratitude to him? There's nothing I can do to make him love me more. There's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. He loves me infinitely, and it's not about our performance. Being a Christian is really incredibly wonderful. But there are so many things at work in our lives that oppose the joy that God has given to us. It's easy to get discouraged and disillusioned, and we get imprisoned by lies and laws, and it's not about the relationship anymore. It seems like, on the one hand, do you feel like time is going faster and faster? It strikes me every time, if you come in my office right in there, you're welcome in there anytime, by the way. On the wall, there's a calendar, and I've got all the days X'd off, and it's just, it hit me again today, just looking at that, how much of the calendar for 2019 is gone. It's overwhelming. So on one hand, it seems like it's going really fast. On the other hand, I don't know about you, but it seems like eternity is a long, long way away. Like, this is never going to be over. You know, it's like high school. I did get it done in 4 years, but those were the longest 4 years of my life. Like the guy, third grade was the longest 2 years of his life. That, it wasn't like that, but I thought I would never get out of high school. It took forever. It took forever. And that's the way I feel about eternity. It feels like it's a long ways off. Listen, friends, we are in a marathon. And we've got to get on the track, and we've got to run the race with patience that God set before us. Sometimes you feel like you don't measure up. Listen to me. Jesus Christ saved you from having to measure up. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. Every time I come listen to Brother Isaac preach, I just feel like I'm a loser. That's what I'm here for. I'm just here for encouragement. I know. Every time I listen to sermons, I don't know whether to quit the ministry or do better. You know, I get that. I understand that it's convicting and you don't feel good about yourself. But listen, you don't feel like you measure up. You're right, you don't, but you don't have to. Jesus took that out of the way. He gave us his righteousness. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus did no sin, knew no sin, so that in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's made us righteous in himself, so it's not about your performance. It's not about how you measure up. It's about Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6, for those of you that are taking notes, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So it's his grace. It's his grace. There are some things in the world today that have kind of hijacked the word Christianity. People don't even know what a Christian is today. Let me give you three real quick tonight. Number one, religion has hijacked the identity of Christianity. I don't know if you're aware of this, but identity theft's kind of a big deal. Have any of you ever had your debit card number stolen? Anybody? It's fun. Yeah, last week, God bless you. Yeah, it's fun when you check your bank statement and you just bought a $1,500 Dell computer in New York one day. It was really cool. Praise God for, you know, fraud protection on my debit card, because that would have been bad. It wasn't as bad as what happened to Jerry Phillips, though. Jerry Phillips in 2001, he's not the guy that happened to. John Harrison's the guy that happened to. John Harrison had his identity stolen by Jerry Phillips. Check this out. John Harrison opened accounts at Lowe's, Home Depot, Sears, and many others. He bought two new cars, two new motorcycles, and in 4 months, racked up over $265,000 in charges in another man's name. That's fun. It took him over 2,000 hours of his personal time, thousands of dollars in legal fees to convince the authorities that he didn't make the purchases. Police finally arrested Phillips for the crime, but 4 years later, Harrison was still strapped with $140,000 in debt that he didn't do. Identity theft is a big deal in the world today, and I think that one of the biggest names, biggest terms that have been hijacked, identities that have been stolen in the world today, is Christianity. In the world today, Christianity is accused of being the number one reason for wars in the history of the world, and it's simply not true. Christianity has a terrible name in American culture today. Our Judeo-Christian values that our country was founded on are under attack in the world today. Some of you have bought into some of those lies, and I want to tell you where they come from. Number one, they come from religion. Religion. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Christianity is a religion. But listen, church structures and powerful denominations have muddied the waters around God's word and what the term Christian really means. Amen. They hold people hostage to man-made traditions, works-based salvation, and complex structures of false teaching. And almost none of the things that they say can be found in this book right here. And they've messed up the name of Christian with their man-made traditions and their works-based salvation. Friends, that's why when we talk to people around our community on a regular basis, most of them think that they're going to get to heaven by being good. It's because they bought into the lies of religion instead of the truth of the gospel. Amen. A lot of people were raised to believe that the Bible's not understandable, that it's not relevant to the world today, that God can only be reached through some some priest or some saint or some other nonsense like that. They're taught that Jesus didn't pay for all of their sins. He just paid for some of them, and they've got to keep their laws and traditions in order to atone for the rest of their sins. Religion has messed up the name of Christianity. Number two, Christianity has messed up the name of Christianity. There are those who claim to know and follow Jesus who are not very good representatives of Jesus. You guys with me? I talked to a lady a few weeks ago, and she'd had a lot of terrible things happen. And one of the things that she was so upset about was a lady who had been in a car accident and killed one of her family members. This lady who was in the car accident that caused the accident was supposed to be a churchy woman. And I listened to her talk about all the terrible things that had happened, the tragedies, and how this churchy person didn't act very kind and wouldn't even apologize for what she had done and all of those things. And at the end of the conversation, I just tried to tell the lady, listen, do you think it's possible that this lady is not a very good representative of Christ? Listen, there are people who claim to be Christian, people who are very churchy, very religious, and they're not very good representatives of Christ at all. If you ask the average person in America today to describe the average Christian, you might get some responses like this. A religious person or someone who goes to church and tries to be good. Somebody who's holier than thou. Somebody who's judgmental. Somebody who is hypocritical or doesn't practice what they preach. Somebody who likes to argue. Somebody who's narrow-minded and out of touch with reality. Somebody who stays away from people who aren't exactly like them. And there's probably a little bit of truth in some of those statements, but listen to me. That's not reality. That's like a caricature of what Christianity is, not reality. If we're going to be real Christians, we've got to live out our faith. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our lifestyle, our conversation, the way that we live ought to match the gospel of Jesus Christ we claim to believe. Religion has hijacked the name of Christianity. Christianity has hijacked the name of Christianity. And number three, the culture. The culture. Make no mistake about it, Satan's going to do everything he can to blind minds and misrepresent God's message. There's nothing but trash in movies and TV shows for the most part today. The Overcomer's out, but, you know, we get one of those every few years, Overcomer and Fireproof and things like that. But for the most part, the things that are on television are just trash. But I want you to notice this, if you do ever watch any of that filth, that when there's a Christian on the show, they're always represented in a terrible way. Nothing like a biblical Christian would be. In movies, in sitcoms, in news stories, examples of so-called Christians or people who say they're Christians are always doing crazy, stupid, idiotic things. The devil's doing all that he can. When we look at the world today, there are politicians who throw Christianity into their campaign so that they can appeal to certain voters, but they're not really Christians. It's evident in their life. There are athletes in the world today who use Christians to try to advance their career or get God's favor on the playing field, and I want you to get it. There are businesses who claim to be Christian. Listen, just because somebody puts a fish symbol or a cross on their advertisement does not mean that they're really Christian. There are businesses around here that do that because they know that you'll trust them. Not every church group or faith-based group that calls itself Christian really is. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I want to say this as a side note. To the degree that we Christians have a bad name or image because of our actual beliefs in Jesus or his word, that's fine. Listen, when you live for Jesus, stand up for Jesus, the world's not going to love you. They hated Jesus, they'll hate you. But when we bring a bad name to Christianity because we are behaving badly. When we suffer as evildoers, that's not okay. We've got to live it out. A lot of people have some bad information about what Christianity is. I've met some people who disregard Christianity right off the bat. They hear I'm a pastor, or they hear the name, the word church, and they don't want anything to do with it because of their experiences. What they think Christianity is, they want no part of. And here's the reality. If what Christianity was to me was what they thought it was, I wouldn't want any part of it either. It's not a system of do's and don'ts. It's not this keep the law and be a good person so you can earn your way to heaven. That's not what it is. If that's what it was, I wouldn't want any part of it either. But that's not what it is. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace, where he gives us something that we could never earn on our own. If you are not saved and you've got this idea that you just need to be a good person and go to church so you can get to heaven, please put that nonsense out of your mind. Understand that it is by grace through faith in Christ alone that we get to heaven. Tim, if you're saved but you're kind of stuck in this idea of works, like you know better, I know that I don't need to work in order to stay saved, but you feel that way. You feel like you've got to live up to the standard or you're failing. Don't lose sight of grace. Come back to the gospel. Understand that you were saved by grace, and he's going to keep you saved by grace. What you don't know will hurt you. What you misunderstand will take you down the wrong road. And if you don't rightly understand what being a Christian really is, you're going to be disillusioned, disappointed, and discouraged. But I want you to get this tonight, John 10:10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. That's his business. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ comes to give life, abundant life, and he can give you peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable no matter what your circumstances are day by day. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you stand with me quietly, please? Can I remind you of the two questions I mentioned earlier? And you guys have done an awesome job of paying attention tonight, being quiet. I'm very thankful. But let me ask you these two questions again because it's really vital. Everybody look up here. Everybody listen. Are you a Christian? I don't mean do you go to church. I don't even mean have you been baptized. I don't mean that, you know, because we're in Mulder, Oklahoma, we're all Christians. I mean this. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you asked him to forgive you and asked him to save you? Have you been born again? If you haven't, I plead with you to trust in him tonight. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to save you. If you come to him in repentance and faith, he'll give you eternal life. You could become a Christian. You'll be made like Christ through faith by his grace. Are you a Christian? And if you are a Christian, are you enjoying the Christian life? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your soul day by day? Or are you getting bound down by this oppression and this idea of living up to it and measuring up? Lay all that aside, friends, and just rejoice that you're accepted in the Beloved. Yes, you've got to live it out. Yes, you need to be changed. But it's not this outward thing, performance-based. It's just living out the heart of gratitude for what he's done for you. It's natural. It's what happens when you understand what Christ has done for you, and you respond accordingly. Peace convicting your heart tonight. You come.